We're connecting. Oh.
Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Hebert Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
DonCoop.biz.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Delvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiasts and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Oh yeah. There we go. Gotta keep moving to stay warm.
Yeah, I was just looking at the Armed Forces Radio Network schedule, and we are on Tuesday. So if you're listening to us on there, it is Tuesday, not Thursday. However,
yes.
We are live on Thursday. But, they show us, I don't know if this is the actual, like, timeline, but it's somewhere between Shrink Wrap Radio and The Law Show. And Phil Nassin, it looks like, is on Tuesdays as well. So he's on every day, almost every day. But, go to armedforcesradionetwork.org, check out the website and what they do, and click on schedule, and you'll see all the other shows that are on as well. So if you want to get on the program tonight and join us, the phone number was given out probably 16 times during that intro. It is 646-727-3235. Get on the phone now, and let's talk about wine, and I will probably go get our guest in about a minute.
Okay.
Here's Ron. Yay.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks. I was just letting you take it on. Yeah, you were doing good there.
I think Ron's with us.
Yeah. By the way.
Yeah.
A little afterthought here.
I'll go back in the corner. And.
Well, you serve a very good purpose. Actually, you can do it by yourself because.
I don't know. I've learned a lot over the past, since 2009, 2008, when it was on we were on before, I don't remember when exactly we were on different servers, but.
We were on a different, well, not Blog Talk Radio. We've been on Blog Talk Radio since January 2009.
Right. And before that, it was like TalkShoe and some other.
Yeah. Yeah.
1,000 mics, I think. What it was
1,000?
It
you're right. 1,000 mic was one of them. Yeah,
long time ago. But Yeah. No, you still need to do the wine stuff. I do.
Yeah.
I just get the guest on right now.
But we've been 5 years. We've been on Blog Talk Radio now. So.
Wow.
So that's really I mean,
I should get my degree by now.
Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
Take a look.
I would think. You know, I mean, you can handle the shows by yourself. You can, you know, you do all that. So you really probably do need a degree.
I wouldn't. There's no way I could do a wine show by myself for the whole hour. I'd have to, that's,
Don't,
that's a lot.
Good.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
you work
good.
On, from the time we go off the air tonight till the next show, you're working on the show already. And, that's, and you know you do. You know you do. You're out there looking up stuff from probably as soon as we log off. Okay, I'll get somebody else.
Actually, I do look at a lot of stuff, and I read a lot of stuff. But I can just start forwarding it to you, and you can be prepared in case anything ever happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
For the two people left remaining listening to this show, just me tonight. No, then. Okay. Anyway, it is time to call the guest, so I'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll get one of these things. Well, Mike went to get our guest. We do have a guest tonight. We have a guest from Texas again. We are still in the great state of Texas, and we probably will be for a few weeks as long as we keep getting these guests. Great. I love it. The guests that we're getting from Texas are really cool, and we're having a lot of fun with them and all that. So we will continue to get guests from Texas, especially, and I will repeat this because we talked about it last week, and this is pretty cool. Wine Enthusiast Magazine listed 10 top growing areas in the world. The Hill Country of Texas, the AVA in the Hill Country of Texas, was listed as one of those top 10, which is really, really impressive, to say the least. That's quite something. Even was talking to some people who aren't really into wine. I mentioned that to them, and they said, wow, that's impressive, which it is. So it's something that, Texas Hill Country, you can be proud. And so we're going to be continuously talking to Texans for a while. One of these weeks coming up here, I will still continue to get our Texas guests, but one of these weeks coming up here, we're going to be talking also about blogs, wine blogs for 2014. There's a lot of new wine blogs that have popped up on us here. And so since these wine blogs have... we're getting more and more of them out there, and actually more and more I'm following, but we're getting more and more of them out there for 2014. So I'm going to share a list of wine blogs for you in the coming weeks here. Also, we got the Olympics coming up in February, too. That's not too far away. That starts, I think, this coming week from today, I think, the Olympics starts. The opening ceremonies are, I believe it is. Also, spring training starts. The pitchers and catchers for baseball report on the 9th of February, which is always an exciting time because then you know when the pitchers and catchers report that it is getting very close to being summer again. And who can't help it like that? So... we've got lots of stuff coming up here. And Mike's having problems, it looks like, trying to get a hold of our caller. The number we had was a good number. I just talked to him, and it's a good number. So, but he's still trying. He's in there and trying to get connected. Where'd Mike go? He's... trying again. Let me see if I can. For some reason, this is saying it can't do this. So he's still trying to get hold of it, trying to get hold of our guest tonight. Our guest is from Rising Star Vineyards in Texas, and Michael Obrey, he's the winemaker at Rising Star, and he was It confirmed. So as far as I know, he is going to be our guest tonight. He's he's forgot over the last 24 hours, which, you know, I suppose it could happen. He said he would call me if there's any problems or any glitches, and I haven't heard from him. So he should be coming on here pretty soon, and we'll be able to talk to him and see what's going on and see what's happening. Drought in California wine country. Serious drought in California wine country, something that they are really concerned about, something that they are really, really wondering what's going to happen. Although, you know, when the droughts happen like that, the ground gets hard and all that. Then when they do start getting rains, it really doesn't soak in. It just floods right off. So that's a problem to be concerned of. Another note here. He's Mike's out there trying to get our caller on here. So just hang with us here. We will get our caller on pretty soon here. Well, no, we're having a problem for some reason. I don't know. Well, tell you what I'm going to do. There's a couple of things that I do want to pass on to you. And I wasn't really prepared to jump out and find this stuff right now because I thought we'd get our caller right on. But let me check here. There's some things I can pass on to you while we're waiting for our caller. Here, Mike was talking about him being slow getting this stuff up, and it looks like I'm in the same situation here. Here we go. This is something I was just talking to you about just a second ago. If it comes up, let me double check and see if we've got our guest. No, not yet. Recent rains does little to alleviate drought in Northern California. There's a light storm that went through dampened the North Coast last weekend, but moisture did little to alleviate the drought and the concerns. It was just 0.08 of an inch that fell in Sonoma County at the airport, and expected dry conditions expected to persist continuously to the end of the month, which is right now. No rain is in forecast. The dry year is a concern within the wine industry, which counts on the winter storms to replenish the groundwater, which is something we are very aware of here in Florida. We always have that that groundwater situation that we have to replenish. The drought conditions will actually mean California wine business is still largely a matter of speculation, but some precautionary measures are being taken just in case there's a worst, it becomes a lot worse. New reality, they're saying, it's that they've never had a dry spell like this before. Typically, it does dry out in the winter season and picks up a little bit in spring. It takes about a foot of rain within a month to 2 months time period to achieve the water that they need for the soils and all that, and gives the reservoirs, draws the reservoirs up so they can draw on them and throughout the summer until July, August, or even September if there's enough water there. But with the rain lacking and the rain down, it is they'll have to start irrigating earlier and start trying to counterbalance it. It said that the drought measure includes filling cover crops into the soil to remove competition from grapes. And let me check here. I think Mike is sending me a message. No, we keep dropping our caller here. I don't know what the story is with that. I don't know why we keep dropping our caller. But let me, I'm going to have to bear with me for a second here for some reason. Why does this keep popping up? I don't want this. Well, the contacts. Well, for some reason, we are not getting our guest on there. I'm going to have to call him and find out what was the problem. Maybe we'll get him on in a future date. Maybe we can talk about some stuff here that wasn't looking at doing. To continue the recent rains, says other drought mitigation measures include tilling cover crops so that they won't be removing water from the grapes. And while the cover crops look good and protect erosion and provides the plants with nutrients, they do suck up too water, and in a dry year, the cover crops could be a problem. They also mentioned that limiting vine size to reduce water usage. They said that the viticulturists may choose to cut back on overall vineyard's crop size. That's the part that people are really concerned about. If they don't get enough water, they'll have to conserve wherever they can. That may include thinning the crops, which is not a good thing, which results in smaller crops, which results in smaller harvests, which results in less wine coming out of California. They said that it is still early in the season, but if it continues on, they're looking at the problem in the overall picture. If it continues on, it could be something that could be an ongoing problem. So they are still looking at ways. They point out that viticulture is a long-term investment, not just a short-term. So a dry season isn't going to make or break them, but it can some of the vines pulled out of California and coming in lower yields on the older vines particularly. They maintain that it's still a healthy number of vines, and there's over 30,000 acres of wine grapes were planted in the last 2 years, so it's not going to hurt anything. But the drought is something that they are concerned about. It's something that is ongoing and something that they're watching closely. You can always watch weather reports and weather channels and see if it's going through to San Francisco, that area there. They're saying prepare people for what's going to happen. Watch the soil. Watch the rain. And so it's something. When I lived in California, that was something. We used to have some dry years. I remember water shortages happening there periodically. I lived outside of San Francisco, and Northern California really relies on the snows and the areas there. What is this? I'm
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. You there?
Okay, yeah.
Can't get him?
No. No
well,
answer.
That is really, really odd.
Been trying.
Well, sorry everyone out there who was expecting to listen to Michael. I will call him and we'll get him on next week. He was excited about being on. I don't know unless something came up or what happened. That number is his cell number too, so it should have been with him. But
yeah.
We were talking while you were out trying to get Michael there. We were talking about California and the recent lack of rain in Northern California. It's been a problem, an ongoing problem here, and we were just talking about how much of an ongoing problem and the fact that they could be cutting back on crops, cutting back on the yield, and also cutting up and plowing under cover crops between vines so they won't be sucking up moisture that could be used for the grapevine. So it's
like a drought? They're having a drought.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's serious drought. I just started to say, when I lived out in California, Northern California, I lived outside of San Francisco in a town called Concord. Any of you who live in that area are familiar with it or been out there. When I lived in Concord, we had droughts. I remember droughts going through, and we had years of drought. Northern California relies very heavily on the winter snows. It is something. Sure, you get storms coming in off the ocean, off the Pacific, but the winter snows, and that's still part of the storms coming off the Pacific. These storms come in off the Pacific, they drop some rain on you, but then they go up to the mountains just to the east of the state there and drop a lot of snow. And then as fills up reservoirs and fills up rivers and fills up the Sacramento Delta and all that good stuff. And they are not getting those heavy snows, and they're not getting the rains going through. So it's creating problems. And it's creating enough problems that they're starting to watch for a, you know, different ways to help through this drought and all. So it's been an ongoing thing. This drought is been ongoing now enough that they're still not getting the rains that they want or that they need. So it's something that needs to be watched, something that hopefully is going to get better soon, but, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with this drought? So we'll keep people informed on that. Let's see. Disease management. Agriculture community. Yeah, it's just something I wasn't prepared for not having a guest. I apologize for my hesitation on all this stuff because I thought we was going to have a guest and I was ready for him. But we don't have a guest tonight, and so I'm scrambling here to get some stuff to read out to you. But it's not like I'm don't have things to share. I've got plenty to share. Wine consumption is gaining on beer. Or craft breweries are a bright spot. Americans are continuing their love affair with wine as 2014 gets underway. But they may love beer and spirits even more. What's trending in, and let me pull this up here. We drank more last year for the 19th year in a row. It's up 2% last year to approximately 360 million 12-bottle cases, according to stats. We love American wines. California making up 58% of all wines we drink, which actually, you know, that's an interesting stat, over 50%, almost 60% from California. But out of 360 million gallons of 12-bottle cases, and I need to, if this works, does this work? No, I got a calculator in front of me and the thing's not working. So I was going to be impressive and tell you. But, that doesn't work. 360 million 12-bottle cases with 58% of it being California wine, that means that 42% of it is coming from other parts of this country, American wines. So, you know, I mean, we're talking to wineries all around this country, and we're starting to really see the diversity and what's available in this country, and people are drinking. It's amazing that a lot of people, and we just talked last week when we talked to Fred Osterberg from Pedernales Cellars, trying to pronounce it like LBJ.
Pedernales.
Pedernales, thank you. Pedernales, yeah.
It's not spelled that way. It's spelled completely different, but, yeah, you would think there's an R before that, but no.
It's not.
Strange.
Okay, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Pedernales Cellars, Fred just last week was telling us about how most Texas wines are drank in Texas. And we've also talked to other wineries around the country, and we found this to be the general consensus. Most states' wines are drank within those states, and there are not a lot of them that are being sold outside the state. So that's, you know, sad. Wine shops and supermarkets. They're 21% Chardonnay, biggest seller, 21% Chardonnay, which is the biggest seller in this country. We've known that for quite some time. Followed by 12% Cabernet Sauvignon, 9% Merlot. Wow, I thought Merlot was second. It looks like Cab has taken over as number two now completely. 8% Pinot Grigio or Pinot Gris. 6% Moscato, and Moscato's jumped up a lot. Moscato's jumped, it's the wine du jour now. People come in, oh, I love Moscato. And I said, yeah, so does everybody, because that's what people are drinking now. And it's just the wine of the day. So, but 6% of the sales of Moscato, 5% sweet red wines, and 1% Malbec. This is according to Nielsen survey that was done. Also, 48% of all wines purchased in the United States and supermarkets cost between $5 and $11. 48%. I tell people most of your wines cost between $7 and $15. They're saying $5 and $11. Get out of that stagnant range there, people. If you're listening, jump up. Only 4% was $20 and over. Get out of your $7 to $15 range and go to your $15 to $30 range. That is a big jump in quality, but not a big jump in price. Makes a big difference in what you're tasting. Try some $15 to $30 price range wines, and I'm not saying next 10 out of 10. I'm saying the next 2 or 3 out of 10, but jump up and try them, and you will be amazed. You will be amazed at the quality difference because it is there. So, but we're buying the $5 to $11 range. Wine is still playing catch-up with beer. Americans drank $99 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars worth of beer, and $69 billion worth of spirits in 2012, compared with only $37 billion of wine, and that's from a recent Gallup poll. Craft beer is coming on strong. It rose 15% in 2012, while regular beer was only up 1%. Good for you people. Get away from the old regular yellow-colored water American bland brands. No offense to you, Mike, where you work. But get into some of those craft brews. Those craft brews are really some really nice beers out there. If we weren't all about wine, we can be all about beer and really call breweries around the country and probably do just as much on the show. Regular beer still outsold craft beer, though. 15 bottles to one. You got a long ways to go for those craft beers to go up there. Excuse me. And they're more expensive, too, and that's something else I think people are concerned. Overall, per capita beer consumption is down from 25 gallons in 1981 to 20 gallons in 2012. Yeah, is it the economy? Is it because people are drinking differently? I mean, 81 to 2012, that's, what, 21, 22 years that people are drinking beer back then are now moving on to something else possibly, too. It could be age gap or anything. Lots of stuff you can read into that. They don't tell us what it is. Spirits, especially expensive ones, are gaining. Irish whiskey grew by 18% in 2012. Bourbon was up 4.5%. In wine, the old cliche that people like to drink sweet wine, but they talk dry, is probably true. The fastest growing varieties in 2012 were Moscato, usually sweet, up 33%, and sweet reds. Sweet reds drive me nuts. It's just such a contradiction of terms. Red, shouldn't be sweet? Ugh. But that was sweet reds up 22%. That's, again, another Nielsen survey. Hard cider is starting to catch on in this country, too. The U.S. market top 10 cider brands grew by 63% in 2012. It's getting big, jumping up in that. Some recommended wines for y'all to try out there. The 2011 Silver Palm Winery Cabernet Sauvignon. Silver Palm Winery Cabernet Sauvignon, $22. The 2012 Lacrima Chardonnay, I've had this, is $23. It's from Sonoma Coast. It is a great Chardonnay. It really is a very, very nice Chardonnay. I've had that one. Angry Orchard Green Apple Hard Cider. You're probably seeing the advertisements. The TV is being flooded with that now. Out of Washington State, crisp, tart, green apple flavor is sort of a dry finish. It's only $8 to $10 per six-pack. That's good, too. I've had an opportunity to have some of that, and that is very good. It gives you, if you like, a Gewurztraminer Sauvignon Blanc combo, that's what it reminded me of a little bit. 2012. Tamero, T-O-M-E-R-O, Tamero Malbec from Mendoza, Argentina. I haven't had that one. Only $17. Check it out if you're looking for something. Malbec's very good. Argentina makes some excellent Malbecs, and at $17, a great price. So just some suggestions for you that talking about these at the end of this article here, passing that on to you. There's something I saw, and this is interesting. This is about pesticides in French wines. Organic wine producers in the Burgundy region of France are facing prosecution for refusing to use pesticides. And I read that opening line on this, and I thought, no, that must be a misprint. But it's not. The Ministry of Agriculture's support for organic wine industry and the growing of public alarm over pesticides in French wine is starting to become a stickly point. The French require certain pesticides. It's part of when you have a vineyard. Now, the share of organically produced French wines rose from 2.6% in 2007 to 8.2% by the end of 2012. And despite this progress, it's still the largest. France is still the largest, third largest user of pesticides in the world, behind the United States and Japan, which, you know, is not a good place to be number one, I guess, for us. And they are the highest user in Europe, applying approximately 110,000 metric tons of pesticide per year. You're thinking, oh my gosh, that's a lot. Yeah, it is. It's a lot of pesticide. A study in February found that pesticide residue in 90% of French wines tested created quite an uproar, which you can imagine it would. I mean, you know, they're finding pesticide residue. Some residues were even found in the organic wines, showing that contamination from neighboring vineyards or, close sources or other stuff is getting into the organic wines. French wines are French vines are susceptible to a contagious bacterial disease called, and I'm going to murder this word, I know I am, Flavescence dorée. It's Flavescence. Flavescence, D-O-R-E-E, and the first E has a little accent mark above it. This is transmitted by a leaf hopper, not unlike the glassy-winged sharpshooter that affects us down here in Florida in warm climates, spreading Pierce disease. Treatment with pesticides is required by French law in several of the wine-growing regions, including Burgundy. So, I never knew that. I never knew that it was a requirement to do it because of the bacterial disease, Flavescence dorée, I think is pronounced. One organic producer in Burgundy has been charged with breaking the law by refusing to use pyrivert, which is a pyrethrin pesticide. He said that there's no evidence that his vines are infected and argues that pyrivert, a neurotoxin, is non-specific to leafhoppers and kills beneficial insects as well. Because of his refusal to do so, he faces 6 months in prison and a fine of 30,000 euros, or about $41,000. Another organic grower was fined for not using pesticides, but they reduced it to 1 euro after he agreed to start using the pesticides. Wow. France has pledged under the 2007 Grenelle Law on the environment, to reduce its pesticide consumption by 50% by 2018. So to help meet this goal, the Minister of Agriculture has a new sustainable agriculture bill that is scheduled to be submitted this month for debate. The law should be changed, and the French Assembly should pass the new bill on sustainable agriculture, they're saying. So, I didn't know. France is required, and the Burgundy regions and different things required to use a pesticide, that one picture one anyway. But then the amount of pesticide that is found in wines is almost frightening from what they're saying there. California Zin windows. If you're a California Zin fan, they're starting to say that they're moving the style back to more of a balance. If you've noticed lately, and I'm a big Zen drinker, I love Cal Zins. A lot of the Zins, the newer ones, are starting to get a lot more alcohol. They're starting to become very alcoholic, very hot, if you will, for those of you who know the term, which is just interpreted in high alcohol. They're starting to get a back in balance. A lot of them are returning to the less alcoholic Zens and the more of the balance and all that, which is good. I don't like the real high alcoholic Zens that were coming out for a while. I had some of them that were, actually I had one that was like a little over 17% alcohol, and why? I don't think they needs to do that. So, you know, it's they're starting to bring them back into balance, which is good. We want a balanced wine anyway, not just one that is just so powerful that it burns your mouth and throat and everything else. Finger Lakes, the Finger Lakes region is starting to get national recognition. The Finger Lakes is starting to advertise around the country. They're starting to get out of just New York and starting to put their wines other places. Jim Torres, president of the New York Wine and Grape Foundation, recently wrote an article titled, "This is a 50-year overnight success," simply because it's been around for a long, long time. The Finger Lakes wine was being served at the inaugural luncheon for the president, so that really gave them a big boost. Also, the governor of New York has been using Finger Lakes wines and promoting food and beverage and all that a lot. They have Long Island, they have Lake Erie, they have Hudson Valley. They've got a lot of good regions in New York, good wine-growing regions. The Finger Lakes is starting to make the scene now, if you will. So it's becoming more and more popular. They're starting to get out there. They're starting to – the Finger Lakes competition that they have every year is getting more and more wines into it, and it's becoming something that they want to be known. They want to be known everywhere for their wines, not just – so much on the East Coast and stuff. So good thing for them. Good luck to you, Finger Lakes. Here's something I found interesting. I just want to hit this quickly here because I just found it interesting. Recent studies and recent tests have shown that pregnant women drinking a bottle of wine a month have better behaved children. Now, that just that headline struck me as interesting. It says, first, it makes no sense since alcohol is not seen as beneficial to child behavior. Now, they're not talking about the first 3 months, first trimester, because they said that could be detrimental. But the second, third trimester is a 175-milliliter glass of wine is equivalent to 2 or 3 units of alcohol. And they're saying that couple units of alcohol once or twice a week is okay. Now, 175, if I'm interpreting this right, probably about 6 ounces. So they're saying, you know, 3 or 4 ounces a couple times a week is okay. It's not going to hurt you. And with studies that were done, now this is by the Swedish study, actually. Sweden? Yeah, I believe. Swedish study. They found that if a glass of wine, or a Danish-Swedish study, a population study was taken between 1996 and 2002, and involved 100,000 pregnant Danish women. They were interviewed throughout their pregnancy and how much alcohol, all that, and twice in the pregnancy, and again at age 6 months of their child. And then when the children were 7 years old, 3,700 women who had answered all 3 rounds of the first question were contacted again, and they found that overall, those who drank wine had better behaved children through the first 6 years of their lives. So, hey, if it works, great. I don't know. We're getting a call in. Maybe Michael decided to call me at home. He has my home number. He could. So, something to keep in mind, if you're pregnant or if your wife's pregnant or anyone out there, a couple glasses of wine a week is good stuff. Something, let's see, what else did I, this is additives may keep open wines from going bad. I wasn't real thrilled with that article. I read that, and I felt that there was just a lot of little bumps in there that I wasn't real thrilled. So I'm going to edit that right out for you there. Paso Robles is ready for the big planting of Cabernet Sauvignon, which is a shame because Paso Robles is doing some really nice Pinots there, Pinot Noirs, and they're looking at, panning a lot. Again, California rains are a problem. It's a lack of Northern California rains. Midwest wine industry has grown by 5%. Merging trends have shown that the Midwest wine industry. Now, this is Midwest. I was born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. When I was growing up, I always referred to Missouri, Kansas, that area there as the Midwest. Now, and I don't know when they started this, I think a number of years ago, they're calling the Midwest Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee. That's the Midwest. And then they're calling Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, the Near West. I don't know. It's just, but the Midwest segment of wine growth is starting to expand. The wine industry grew by 5% in the Midwest, and figure all the Midwest, Near West, and all that. 5% growth in that, substantial when you start considering how California dominates. So the wine industry has really started to jump up in the Midwest. New farm bill was passed. That's going to affect some grape crops in different areas, or some grape growers and stuff. The big thing with the farm bill is the food stamp program, the food stamp assistance program. That was in the farm bill more than anything. But it is got other stuff in there that's going to help farmers and all that. This cold snap that's affecting all over the country, particularly the Finger Lakes area, the Finger Lakes region of New York is a little concerned about these cold snaps, one right after the other like this. Vines are dormant right now, so they're not really vulnerable to the cold as it would be in the spring and fall, and they probably won't affect it, but a continuous deep freeze can affect vines, and if the temperatures continue to drop, the moisture in the trunks of the vines can freeze, cracking open the vines. And this can kill the vines. Back in 1981, they had this drop in temperature combined with wet conditions, and they had devastating damage all across the Finger Lakes area. With the back-to-back storms that they're having now, and this polar vortex that hit a couple of weeks ago, and the one that's going through right now, it's something that they're looking at and a little bit concerned, because if the temperature is minus 12 degrees Fahrenheit for any period of time, it could cause damage to the Riesling grape vines and some of the frost-resistant Vitis vinifera grapes vines out there. So the temperatures are something to be concerned about in that part of the country, as well as anywhere else. Now, this is why University of Minnesota, Cornell, University, a lot of these schools have been trying to come up with grapevines that will survive these cold weathers. And they came up with quite a few, but those are the ones that we're not used to. Those are the names we're not used to. Things like Gewurztraminer and Merlot will probably lose 50 to 60% of the crops, and Riesling might survive a little bit better, but Cabernet Franc should be okay. But these are things, these grapevines, these vinifer grapevines, cannot do a sustained cold because of the fact that it will cause the moisture in their in the vines to freeze and split. So there's been killer frost around the world different times and killer winters. Back in Germany in 1985, there was a major cold snap, and about 80% of the vineyards were lost in the areas there. So something that is of a concern, and, you know, year in and year out, it's not been getting that cold, although the cold snap seems to be coming through pretty consistently this year. But as long as it continues to move out quickly and not stay sustained for many hours, and it's going to be all right. But again, one of the things that we are concerned about is grape growers, especially in that part of the country. Let's see what else. There's all sorts of different things I've been saving to share with you, and this is, I didn't get it together simply because, again, I thought I had a guest, and so I apologize for that. Let's see. Midwest wine. Okay, this is good. Let's move on to something else here and share something else with you here. See, I mentioned a little bit about the Farm Bill. There's a wine article on the Farm Bill. Let me scan this quickly here and see if there's anything that it might affect grapevines directly, and it doesn't look like it. New crop program is going to be affected, so there'll be a new crop program available. So if you want to plant new grapes, it could be part of the Farm Bill. Biggest thing on the Farm Bill, it looks like, is the food stamp program. That's going to be supported and continued by the Farm Bill. So, let's see. Poisonous wine could have killed Alexander the Great. Well, that's interesting. Poisoned wine could kill Alexander the Great. Dr. Leo Shrip, a toxicologist at the Poison Center, University of New Zealand, has done some extensive research and stuff, and they believed that he did not die of natural causes. It said that he has been researching evidence for decades, and he thinks that the theories of arsenic and strychnine were laughable as the death came too fast. He asserts that most likely the culprit was wine from the Veratrum album, known as white hellebore. The white flowered plant can be fermented into a poisonous wine and was well known to the Greeks as a herbal treatment for inducing vomiting. It would account for the 12 days it took for Alexander the Great to die, during which he was speechless and unable to walk. Of the poisonous wine, Dr. Shep said it would have tasted very bitter, but could have been sweetened with wine, but conceded that his death would forever remain a mystery. So, yeah, there you go. Something to talk about at your next party. Let's see. Impact on some economy is... more women making wine in the Midwest. There are a lot of winemakers, female winemakers. I get a couple, three different publications from the Midwest, and there are a lot of women winemakers there. Good for them. It's great. California grape areas are being ripped up for almonds. That's a big story now. They're ripping out, although it's not so much the wine grapes that are being ripped up for almonds, as it is raisins and juice So it is the almonds, though, a lot of almond trees are being infected and dying, so their almond prices have really gotten expensive, so they are looking at what they can do to replenish and replace that, and they're digging up grapevines to do that. Let's see. And then there another one says, don't panic because it's not really happening. Now, what the heck? Not the wine lands. It's the, it said that it's putting into the areas they're pulling out is raisins and stuff. Let's see, for last year's crush. Yeah, that's just talking about the wine grape areas aren't being digged up. It's just the raisins and stuff like that. Still no rain in California. Got a workshop in California legislature roundup and says computer software. Oh, well. We've talked about most of the stuff on that little note I was going to do. Special yeast reduces alcohol in wine and improves the wine. That's interesting. With standard yeast, there's like six standard yeast that are used quite often, and they're saying that there's one now that can reduce the alcohol in it. Worldwide wine auction revenues fell again in 2013. Not as much auctioning off on wine. And the court reinstates Kentucky ban on stores selling liquor. St. Helena okay small wineries in neighborhoods. They've had a block on that for a long time. Wow, they're starting to open it up. For different areas. Now the California governor, Edmund Brown, declares the drought a state of emergency in California. It's getting worse. And lower alcohol wine sells nosedive in United Kingdom. Fossa Ropos is having water problems too, some water problems there, and that's in Central California. AFRN, you've been listening to me rattle on for the last 50 minutes. Thanks for listening. It's getting close to the AFRN leaving us here. Thanks for listening. Red wine ingredient linked to lower diabetes risk. There's something else to consider. Red wine. There's an ingredient, red wine, that could help lower your diabetes. Wine business growing in Kansas. California's water woes are getting worse. These are just, a few days ago this came out. But AFRN, thank you for tuning in again. We appreciate it. I'm thrilled that AFRN and you listeners are out there. It's fantastic. I listened to AFRN many years ago, all the time, and when I was in the military. And I am thrilled that you are part of our listening audience. If you have any questions or comments or anything, AFRN, by all means, get in touch with us. You can email us at allaboutwine. What is it? All About Wine BTI?
All About Wine 101 at gmail.com. There you go.
We got so many different ones. All About Wine 101 at gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments or anything, anybody can. It doesn't just have to be AFRN right. Radio. Get in touch with us. What's that?
Find more information on AFRN, Armed Forces Radio Network.org is their website, and they have all the information there, show schedule, what they do, all kinds of good information there and who they support, all the good causes and everything. So check it out on the website. I don't think we mentioned that before, so we'll make that a regular thing there. And they're also on Twitter and on Facebook at the AFRN on Twitter. I know that one. So
cool.
Check it out. Definitely. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so, AFRN, thank you for joining us again this week and all of you listeners through AFRN. A couple other things I want to share with you here, if I can find them real fast.
Did you hear about the movie that the documentary they're making? I just pulled up some information. Okay, let me see, while you're doing some stuff here, let me see if I can pull this. Okay. Production teams in the UK and France have joined forces for a new film documentary that follows the rise and fall, and I hope I get his name right, of Rudy Kurniawan and his footsteps throughout the wine world. The Indonesian national replicated wines, such as those in Burgundy, if that's France, of course, in the kitchen sink of his home in Los Angeles. He was convicted of making, selling, and attempting to sell more than $1 million of fake wine. The movie titled Sour Grapes is intended for a mainstream audience, even though it is basically wine-focused, but everybody loves cons, and this is also going to focus on that as well. And it is set to be completed by the end of 2014. So that'll be interesting. And that apparently went to court last December, and he was charged, so that was like an interesting story. So
it does. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
No, I hadn't heard that.
Pretty good. I think that was on Decanter.com. There's a big deal on that. So they interviewed the people involved with it, and a winemaker who was affected by it had one of his wines replicated, and I guess he got away with it for a while, but they got him, so that's cool.
They got him. Yeah. I hadn't heard that. We talked about counterfeit wines a couple weeks or a month or so ago, and a lot of the stuff that was going on with counterfeit wine. So it's a multi-billion-dollar problem in the wine industry. It's just amazing how much money is lost on counterfeiting and all that. So maybe the RFID tags might stop that. They're hoping that it will, but who knows? Yeah. So I don't know. Decades old Tennessee is having arguments about wine in grocery stores and stuff again. Ongoing battles there, continuous ongoing battles. Let's see, 100% Cork, the movement to educate wine drinkers and winemakers about the social, technological, and environmental benefits of natural cork is launching a campaign to let people know that cork is good. Cork industry is doing that. The California drought is starting to become an issue. It hasn't really broken up yet and hasn't really done anything yet, and it's starting to become an issue. This is, let's see. Again, I apologize for all of you listeners that are still out there. I was not expecting to do a program. I thought we were going to have a guest, and our guest, for some reason, wasn't able to join us. So, California vineyard owners are worried about potential water restrictions. And everything I pull up on just about everything that I get about the wine industry and different things, there's always an article in there about this California drought. It's becoming an issue. It's becoming a serious issue. It's this particular article says If the drought continues, Farmers Ranchers writes to California creeks, rivers, and lakes may be ordered to stop drawing the water. That's serious. It's an emergency drought declaration. The governor sent one out, put the water right holders on notice that they may have to stop taking surface water. It could be a blow to the grape growers along the Russian River Basin, who already fear that one of the worst droughts on record will ravage their crops. The state is concerned that if the water flow gets too low, officials will tell water rights holders to turn off the tap. It's happening throughout the state, and they make a determination within a short period of time. The curtailment could affect water right holders first and could continue until those with more senior water rights are told to stop taking water from rivers and creeks. The Sonoma County Water Agency, which provides Russian River water to 600,000 residents, is a senior water rights holder in the Russian River watershed, and it's assessing how it might be affected by this. They support the governor's declaration. Our region has been proactive. We want to lead the charge on this issue. The State Water Board curbed water rights during epic droughts of 76 to 77. Actually, 76 to 77, I was living in California. I mentioned at the top of the show that that was one of the I was there during one serious drought, and that was the years. 76, 77 was the years that we had that. Grape growers who have had only 2 inches of rain since July 1st, 13% of normal, are worried about losing the important source of water for frost protection and irrigation. So it's getting worse. It's coming to a head. It's affecting people. The small operations are affected a lot by it because they can't afford to have the water trucked in, and so it is becoming a serious thing out there. Maybe I can get a hold of somebody out there in that area and talk about water and how that's going to affect. I don't know. I don't know who I would look up, but I'm sure I can find somebody that would be willing to come onto the program. And since they're 3 hours behind us, it's not like they're going to be taking time out of the evening. They can do it during the day. Let's see. Stelvin closures are making a big impact. They're starting to show up everywhere. Stelvin being the screw caps, for those of you who don't know, Stelvin is actually the big name in screw caps, and Stelvin closures are popping up at all the trade shows and everything. And it's big step in the right direction. Let's see. And a couple more things. I'm cleaning up some of this stuff here. If I'd known we were going to do this. Drought, farm bill, smoke tank costs in Australian wine industry millions. Oh, let's pass this on here to you. This is, if I connect. It's smoke taint costing the wine industry millions in Australia. It says the study aims to give the wine industry a better understanding of smoke and how it taints grapes, leaving wine with an ash-like flavor. Ricky James from the Victorian Department of Environment and Primary Industries says smoke taint costs the wine industry millions of dollars each year. He says it's crucial fire agencies and growers work together to achieve a balance between protecting grapes and carrying out planned burns. It's building and encouraging the relationship between the fire and land managers and industry to be able to work together. So with the increase in planned burning that's taking place over the last few years, it's a very critical thing for us to work so that the growers and land managers can work in harmony. Wow. I hadn't heard that. But smoke taint, if you pick yourself up and a wine from Northwest Victoria. There you go. Northwest Victoria, they're saying a serious smoke taint is affecting the wines there. And you can actually taste it in the wines. Virginia Wine set another record in 2013 in sales. Virginia is popping up there. We'll be talking to Virginia, and sometime this before this year is out, they'll be one of our states that we will be getting to, since we're on Texas now, and V is after that. But there's already Virginia's experiencing a record year in 2012. They had a record year in 2012, reached another all-time high in fiscal year 2013. They are doing, including a triple-digit increase in international sales of Virginia wine, a lot of exports to London and China. Sales of the quality of Virginia wines has improved dramatically. After 20 years of trial and error, the folks of Virginia now know what grape varieties grow best, and they now know the practices to grow their grapes. And they are turning out some phenomenal wines that are being sold everywhere. They're all very optimistic about 2014 and the possibilities of what's going to happen to Virginia wines then. So, wow. We're looking forward to talking to Virginia in the future, a future date here, and finding out what's going on there. And just a couple other quick articles here. I think, is this the one I wanted? No, this is not the one I wanted. A lot of shows coming up. There's a great big show happening in March up in Pennsylvania. It used to be in Pennsylvania. It's in Virginia now, which is rather ironic because I just read that about Virginia wines. Up in Virginia now, there's a big show, a real big show for wine. I don't have the paperwork in front of me, but I'll tell you that if you're interested, it's a great show. They have a phenomenal speakers and all sorts of stuff available at that show. I will give you more information next week. If you pre-register by middle of February, save you a little bit of money. But that's coming up in...
That's a different one.
Now, I can't think of the name of it. I got a blank on that. Boy, I'm sorry.
I'm reading about... I just pulled up a page, but this is in Lancaster County in Pennsylvania. March the 3rd. It's the third annual Eastern Winery Exposition.
Yeah, okay. That's,
I don't know.
That's
in Lancaster.
That's in Lancaster. That's a big one there, too. There used to be one real big one that was being held at,
right outside. You mentioned it before.
I
think you mentioned
I mentioned it before, and I can't think of that. But it used to be a real big one that was held in Pennsylvania up there, just outside of Philadelphia, over close to the battlegrounds there, over to Gettysburg and all that. It used to be a big one held there every year. I went to it a couple of times. And about, 3 years ago, they broke off because it became too big for that area there. And so they broke off and they went down to Virginia. Richmond, Virginia. And they have a big one there. But then that one that you just read, this is their third year, they started that one at the same time. And I think... I want to say I think they scheduled them on the same weekend, but I don't think so anymore. I think they did the first year. They scheduled them on the same weekend, and all the vendors were complaining because they wanted an opportunity to go to both. So, yeah. Scheduled it in back-to-back weekends now, so the vendors can go to one, pack up, and go to the other. But, I've got the information. I'll pass it on to everybody next week. But they're both of them are great shows for East Coast. Those are the two big ones for the East Coast. There's four or five of them out west every year.
The one in Pennsylvania, they said that all of the show's 249 booth spaces have been sold to 179 exhibiting companies.
Yeah, they use double boost and all that.
That's a fascinating show.
It really is fascinating. I just, and the speakers are phenomenal. And you know, I mean, if you do the whole show, you won't be disappointed. If you just go
they have workshops. They have social events. They have what else? What are you thinking of?
They have big dinners. They have all sorts of things on it. And at both of them, the one in Virginia and the one there in Pennsylvania. So if you can go to both, that's fantastic. If you just go to one, you know, pick one or the other, because they both are very good. I mean, you won't be disappointed in either one if anyone wants to attend those. They are both very good. So those are coming up in March, around the 1st of March. And one thing I want to throw out to everyone out there, the history of American wine. We've been, one of my discussion groups, we're talking about the history of American wine. Does anyone know of any books that documents the history of American wine? If you do, would you please email me? We are trying to find, some of us on discussion groups are trying to find what books are available. Currently, you can find ones on different, you know, heads of things, you know, and all that, and different heads of wineries. But some of the early years is the ones that are difficult to find. So if anyone out there knows of any books or anything about the history of American wine, then please let me know so we can add it to our list. And I think I'm going to be done for this evening.
Wow. That's pretty good for being put on the spot to a show.
Like I've always said, I never have trouble talking.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I found a couple of e-books, but I'm looking. Very cool. That's a lot of good stuff. And, you know, we'll try again next week for see if we can get them on the program. Not sure what happened tonight, but I tried, I think, five times. I forgot what my call number was. Yeah, five times.
Five times,
I checked the weather thinking, you know, were they affected, and it was like 61 degrees there and clear skies. So
wow, it's better than
us. Not like they have here we are in the 50s, and they're warmer. So I don't know. It wasn't a good time after all. I don't know. Sometimes
I'll
things
call
happen,
tomorrow.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we've had that happen before, too. We've had guests, and I call them, and they go, oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry. It happens.
And I like the ones that, oh, I thought it was next Thursday.
Yeah.
Those are good. No.
No, this is Thursday.
Yeah.
But,
Okay. Yeah. That was good. But you still came through anyway, so that was good. So next week, next Thursday, is we'll be in February, and that'll be February the 6th. Yes.
I mentioned at the beginning of the program, which is the beginning of the Winter Olympics, and it is also the beginning of the Florida State Fair.
Okay. I must have missed the when I was trying to call him. So.
Yeah, I mentioned that at the top of the show.
Florida
to get a hold of our guests. Yeah.
And hopefully by then the snow in Georgia will melt and, you know, people will be able to get to their cars. Did you hear about that?
Yes,
I heard from people in Atlanta. They were driving, and once they got so far, even on the interstate, they just left their car and walked.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, this one girl said she was in a car and took her 16 hours to get home to go 10 miles. You can walk 10 miles, you know, in less time than that.
Yeah. That's the traffic there is bad anyway, but you add that into it, oh, man, I can't imagine going through there.
I mean, every time I've driven through Atlanta, it's even, and I don't drive through Atlanta, I bypass, because you can bypass around, and every time the roads are always, I know, no matter what time of the day or night, they're always, always packed.
Yeah.
You know, it just, and then you get that snow like that, and just it becomes a parking lot. That's just amazing, you know.
Mm-hmm. And they had, there was snow in southern Alabama, southern Georgia, northern Florida, which surprised them. But
yeah.
And, oh, and you heard that kids were spending the night in their schools. The teachers were having to spend the night with them, and because they had no way to go anywhere. I mean, amazing.
It's just amazing. And it was, and what's really amazing about this, okay, I think more so than anything, is that it was only like 2.5 inches of snow. I mean, it was no snow, basically. 2.5 inches.
You know,
is really
if it got
not
that
snow.
Cold. Yeah, but if it got that cold and we had a flurry, they would shut down Tampa.
Yeah, they
I mean,
would.
There,
yeah.
There's no
because
way.
We're not
yeah,
used to it south there.
No. Yeah, we wouldn't know what to do. A snow shovel? What is that?
I remember a story, and I have to, you know, mention. I was born and raised, like I mentioned earlier, I was born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. And we used to get snowstorms there. I mean, inches and feet and all sorts of things and all my life. I had a cousin who got married and moved to Texas. And he said that he had kids. And he said he got up one morning, looked outside, and there was like 1.5 inches of snow on the ground. He dressed up the kids, bundled them up, and said, go out and get to school. And the kids said that they were within like 4 or 5 blocks of school. They walked to school, and they came back. They said, school's closed. And he goes, closed? Why? What do you mean it's closed? They said, yeah, there's nobody there. School's closed today. And he was shocked. I mean, he said it was only like a couple of inches of snow at the most on the ground. And he said, you know, we used to deal with feet to go to school.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, southern tier. Yeah.
I found out Pennsylvania was the same way. When I went from Texas to Pennsylvania, it was during a winter, and I mean, they had 1 foot of snow when school buses were still stopping and picking up kids. And are you nuts? Why are they going to school in this stuff? Why are they even out? But luckily, it's just you and I talking right now. You know, the show's over with, and we're just talking like we usually do. we're not on the air right now, so that's cool. So, you know, yeah, this is what we usually do, and we're still on. Okay. Anyway.
Well, we don't always talk about wine. We always we say that in the opening.
That's right. That's right. We warned you ahead of time. Okay. So February 6th, which is the beginning of a lot of things around here and nationally. We'll see you all next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Blog Talk Radio, all about wine. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great week. Stay warm. And But you know, it's going to be back in the 80s here this weekend. So there we go.
It is.
We'll see y'all. Yeah, we'll see y'all next time. Thanks for tuning in again, Dan. Thank you. Well, AFRN's already tuned off. So, what a shame.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you all very much.
We'll see y'all. Yeah. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.